That's a laugh. You know, anybody can choose to ignore the doctor, break the doctor's rule, and possibly have progressively mediocre health. In today's world, too often it seems we hear leaders substituting rumors for facts and substituting personalized insults for discourse about issues. In that context, we have to remember there's some rules that have to be kept. They need to be kept. You and I must hold tightly onto the Apostle John's teaching. Never let go of it. It's like a life jacket when we're caught in a storm on the ocean. And James said plainly, say yes when you mean yes. And say no when you mean no. I've discovered in church groups, a lot of people feel guilty when they say no. It just eats them up. They feel nasty when they said no to somebody. If that's you, I've got excellent news for you. You have room to grow, a chance to be proud of becoming stronger in integrity, and that's a wonderful gift. I think a healthy rule break has an authentic feel to it, and I was on the receiving end of a beautifully well-broken rule just after I had surgery for prostate cancer. I got a letter in the mail from the local Roman Catholic priest inviting me to a special intention mass. Well, when I got there, the priest introduced me to the congregation, told them my name, and I was the local Anglican priest. And during the prayers, he prayed for the Pope, for the Bishop of Victoria, and for me. When time for communion, he gave me the bread and the wine. And after the service, a lot of people hugged me. And I said to Father Mac, aren't you going to get into trouble, you know, openly giving a non-Roman Catholic communion? Well, he looked me in the eye and he smiled and said, I'm old. Now, he broke the rule to bring me life. And I believe the end result of life-giving is a sign the rules have been well broken. At that moment, both the giver and the receiver experience being equal and being very much alive. And I believe when you get that feeling when rules are broken, you're on the right track. If we reflect on Deuteronomy, the context is God saying, I'm giving you a choice between a blessing and a curse, between good and evil, between life and death. If you obey the commandments of the Lord your God, if you love him, obey him, keep all his laws, then you will prosper. Whew. Then there's this one little sentence, the concept that frames all that talk about laws and obedience and rules. I think it's a crucial part. He says, you will have to turn to him with all your heart. Theme picked up in some of the songs this morning. And without this turning, the rules can stifle us. We end up being cold and angry and judgmental of ourselves and others. Frankly, a pain to be around. And if the church, as some churches do, slide down into this criticizing of people, hitting people with rules, fear starts to take over. Love goes out of the window, and that church becomes a malevolent sect. I met somebody in South Africa, a priest, who'd been, literally, he'd escaped from a church like that, and he was absolutely shattered from all the law pushing. On the other hand, you know, we need to look with discernment at the laws that are to be obeyed, just like we see our doctor's prescriptions for vibrant health as being, it's sort of like a fence along the road of Christian living. And the fence is there to help you and me avoid stumbling into the poison ivy at the edge of the road, avoid falling into the storm sewer. That's why the fence is there. And yep, we've got the right, the privilege, the freedom to jump the fence anytime we want. Do you recall that Jesus did not say, you must have abundant life? He didn't say that. He said very carefully that he came so that we may have abundant life. It's a choice. It's an invitation. You know, I think at times we're a cautious bunch. We often want proof ahead of time that the lion's chains are short enough that we won't get gored as we walk through the gateway. Do you remember that John wrote in his first letter that it's not about us trying to love God, because God already loves us first, way before we even consider the possibility of loving God, and we're called to respond. Yet sometimes we need proof. How do we find it? Do you recall the psalmist writing in the Old Testament, "The merciful loving kindness of the Lord endures forever"? Does that sound familiar? Okay, it's there. How about Julian of Norwich? She was a 14th century mystic. She portrays a beautiful picture of Jesus, the Lord, inviting all of his dear friends and servants to a banquet. Now, don't think it's them, it's us who is invited. Okay? It's us. And Julian writes, and I quote, "Completely relaxed and courteous, Jesus was himself the happiness and peace of his dear friends. His beautiful face radiated measureless love." I'd like you to hold on to that picture when you come forward to the banquet. I believe the challenge for all of us is not the idea that God loves us, imperfect as we feel we are, because we can handle this abstractly any day. Julian of Norwich wrote, and I'm not quite quoting her, I'm summarizing, she said, "Don't be silly. Your sin can never push Jesus away from you." That's good news to hold on to. I think the challenge is to nurture the habit of seeing and feeling and knowing the merciful loving kindness of God walking with us in ordinary daily living. That's basically what Shannon was telling the children. I hope you listened to her carefully. As we experience this, we also experience gratitude to God. We experience God loves us. Then more and more our relationship with God moves beyond rules. We abide in God's love. And I believe when we have that sense of abiding in God's love, it gives us echoes from the best friendships we have. I find it helpful to spend a little time at the end of each day remembering with gratitude the happiness of the day, the happenings. It keeps me grounded in gratitude. And yeah, I forget it at times, and sometimes I'm so tired I go straight to sleep. But I try and reserve time every day for remembering to say thank you to God. And if you want some encouragement in this, if you come across the Simple Abundance Journal of Gratitude, anybody come across it? You can get it on Amazon through various places. There's bigger copies. But it has, for every day of the year, little space where you can write the things you're thankful for, your gratitude. It's also got a list of 150 items at the front, talking about the kind of things you can be grateful for. Being able to trust another human being. Reading a book that changes your life. Holding hands. A nap. Realizing the no coincidences. Nailing the punchline in a favorite joke. Hearing the laughter. Okay? It reminds us of all these good things. I don't get a commission if you get it from Amazon. Thanks be to God.